We have been talking about for a long time now this series of lessons called What If? Okay? And basically what we've been looking at in this series is different scenarios where we tend to ask ourselves that question, what if? Okay? What would happen otherwise if I do this or that or things of that nature? So what if I did this instead of that? What if this were to happen instead of that? What if it doesn't work? Then what are we going to do? What if they don't show up? What if they don't keep their promise? We play this what if game regularly in our day with all kinds of things. Have you noticed how many times and how often you ask yourself that question? What if? Okay? Well, what happens is after the fact, after whatever has happens, then we go and we second guess ourselves. And we play what we call Monday morning quarterback, where we kind of analyze and look at what we did, what we didn't do, and wish we would have done, and wish we hadn't have done, and all of those kinds of things. If I would just have done this instead of that. If I only they would have. And you fill in the blank with whatever, and we do that constantly in our daily lives. If I had it to do over again. Okay? What if? What if? Well, here's a question for you to think about this morning as we share this last lesson in this series with you. What if you wanted to go to heaven? Okay? Just let that sink in a little bit. So what we're doing with this is we're playing the biblical version of what if. And what that means is we're focusing on some biblical issues, some biblical questions and things of that nature, where we are asking that question, okay? What if? So, we're doing this, and here's the overall purpose of this whole study. It's to challenge us to look at these really important biblical issues and to second-guess ourselves now before it's too late. Okay? To ask those questions and to Monday morning quarterback now while we still have a chance to do so, so that we won't, in the judgment day, find ourselves saying, if only I would have, or if only I wouldn't have. Because once the judgment, too late to change anything. So we're trying to do all of that now while we still have the opportunity to make the changes that we need to make in our daily lives. Okay? So, our final lesson in this series, okay, what if, we're asking this question. What if Jesus really does love you? Okay? It's a really serious and important question. And it's one that, you see, Satan has a lot of people feeling like, no, he really doesn't love me. So we need to explore this question. What if he really does love you? And what does that really mean? Okay? So let's talk about being motivated by love. Love motivated. Now here's a verse that most everybody recognizes and knows, right? John 3:16, read it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, most people know this verse. In fact, this is the one that everybody holds up. You know, if you see the football games or athletic, you know, they're holding up a sign. John 3:16. Say, God so loved the world. God, He loves us. Here's another version of that very same verse. And I like the way this is worded. For God loved the world so much. I like that. Okay? He loved you and He loved me, every single one of us, so much that He gave His one and only Son. Now, then we have to ask ourselves, why? Why did He do that? Well, Though everybody knows about John 3:16, very few people, and I've never seen anybody hold up a sign of John 3:17 at a ball game, okay? But this is what it says. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. You see, that's the real message of John 3:16, if you think about it. You see, we stop too early. Okay, we focus on God so loved the world, but we stop and fail to understand and recognize the motivation. Why did He send this only begotten Son? Not to condemn us. If He wanted to do that, He didn't have to send His Son to condemn us. He could have done that right from where He was. But He wants us to know how much He loves us. That He would send His Son into the world, not to condemn us as sinners, but rather to save us through that very Son. And that brings us to, to a text that we're very familiar with. You've heard me talk about this so many times, and as I refer to it as the core of the gospel message, John chapter 8, the story of the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, was brought to Jesus, and her accusers were pressing Jesus. The law says to stone such women. What do you say, Jesus? And I, as you've heard me say before, I love Jesus' response, because He said nothing. Instead, He bent down to the ground, knelt down, and began to write with His finger in the sand. And they kept pressing, and they kept pressing. And finally, Jesus stood up, and He said, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone." And John tells us there that upon hearing that, they began to walk away one at a time, the older to the younger. And so that only Jesus was left there with the woman. And Jesus says to her, "Is there no one left to condemn you?" And she says, "No one, sir." "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Now go and leave your life of sin." The part I want you to focus on is this: neither do I condemn you. Jesus is saying, that's not why I'm here. Understand that nowhere in this story do we find this woman objecting. Nowhere do we find her declaring her innocence. Nowhere do we find her trying to get out of the punishment that she rightfully deserved. But Jesus declares to her and to you and I today, "I did not come to this world to condemn people of their sins. I came to save people." But upon being saved, we need to recognize and understand it calls for us to live a different life. But Jesus was motivated by love for us, His creation, not wanting to condemn us for our sins, though every one of us deserve that, but rather to save us. Why? Because He loves us that much, that He gave His one and only Son. I don't know about you, but I have a difficult time comprehending that kind of love. That He would send His Son here. Not just sending Him here, but knowing what was going to happen to Him. Knowing what would be done, how He would be treated by those He sent to save. And He sent Him anyway. Now, a lot of people in the world look at Jesus' death and His crucifixion on the cross, and they look at that as a failure on His part to accomplish what He came to do. But what we need to realize is that that was the plan from the beginning. That just as we celebrated a few moments ago, Jesus came knowing that He would be sacrificed, that His blood and his body would be destroyed in death because of our sins. That was the plan. That was the only way that we could be saved. See, people fail to recognize and understand the significance of the resurrection. That was the plan. It was the conquering, the victory over the death that's brought about by our sins. And that's why Jesus came. He didn't have to die on that cross. He didn't have to lay in the grave. He didn't have to do any of that. If His mission and His plan and His desire was to destroy us. But love motivated Him to come here and to die in our place, so that we could be free from our sins. So He was motivated by love. Well, it's one thing to talk about love, okay? It's one thing to declare love, but it's a whole nother thing to demonstrate that love, and that's what He did. He didn't just say He loved us, but look at this text here. Paul says to us in Romans, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in this. Okay? Christ died for us. Now, when, that's the important thing in this text, when did that happen? Okay? God demonstrated His love for us in that Christ died for us, but the significant part is, it was while we were still sinners that He did this. And we really need to grasp that part of this statement. You see, I think too often we read that and we just kind of zip past that while we were still sinners part. But that's all about the demonstration. How did God demonstrate that? God didn't tell us to get our act together first and to go and stop sinning and do all these things, get right first, and then come to Him and He might forgive us. No, that's not what He did. He demonstrated how much He loves us by allowing His Son to die for us while we were still lost in our sins. If you think about it, that's kind of like it was the way He dealt with Israel. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves there. And God set about a whole bunch of events that allowed them to be freed from that Egyptian bondage and to leave Egypt as free people. And it wasn't until after He freed them, He brought them to Mount Sinai, where He gave them the law, which is basically, it's the conditions under which God wants to live in relationship with them. But notice the significance that, again, God didn't say, all right, now you folks, you're in Egypt and in bondage there, and you guys are messing up, and I want you to get your act straight, and if you do that, then I'll send this guy named Moses and he'll free you. And No. He freed them first. Brought them into a relationship with Him because of His love for them as a people, as a nation. He demonstrated how much He loved them by freeing them from that bondage that they were in. It's really easy for us to say to someone, I promise this, I promise that. But love only declared oftentimes can be very empty, can it? I think sometimes we say that too easily. I love you. See, we make that declaration. But love demonstrated is real. And that's what God did with His love. He didn't just declare His love for us and say, yeah, I love you, and if you get your act together, then I'll prove it to you. He proved it to us by sending His Son while we were lost in our sins. He demonstrated His love for us. You see, Satan wants to convince us that we've been too bad. We've done some really bad things in our lives, and, And because of that, God doesn't really love you. And sometimes it's really easy for us to listen to His lies, that we're not worthy and that we don't, you know, we're unloved and there's no way that He could really forgive me. This sin that I've done is too bad. Well, stop listening to Satan's lies, okay? The I've done too many bad things for God to love me. What is that? What is it? A lie. Okay? How about this one? God could never love and forgive me for the things that I've done. What is that? It's a lie. But yet too many people are believing these lies because Satan has convinced them that God doesn't love you that much. And I'm here to tell you today, God loves you more than anything you have ever done in your life. Okay? His love transcends all of that. Because you are His creation. He loves you that much. And He demonstrated that love by sending His Son to die for you. And for whatever those sins that Satan is trying to convince you He can't forgive you, that's why He died. That's why He died. God does love you. And He's demonstrated that very, very actively. All right? And then finally, let's talk about love disseminated. What does that mean? Spread around, passed on. Okay? In our text that was read for us this morning as we began, okay, John writes to us, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." John is declaring a love relationship between God and His creation. All right? He goes on to say, "Anyone who does not love does not know God." Why? Because God, say it with me, is love. Okay? God is love. It doesn't mean He just has some to pass out every once in a while. Okay? And as somebody once said, God's love doesn't come and go, and His love does not ebb and flow. In other words, He doesn't just love us when we're doing the good things, and then He stops loving us when we misbehave, when we sin. No, God is love. That means He never stops loving us. There is absolutely, listen to me, there is absolutely nothing that you or I can do to make God or to cause God to love you any less or any more than He does right now. Do you hear me? God does not take His love away from us because we mess up. He never stops loving us. It is not in His capacity to stop loving us because He is love. So, you see, that takes away that whole thing about trying to earn our way into heaven. That if I do enough good things, that maybe God will love me enough that He'll forgive me of these bad things and I'll get to go to heaven. No, God, He doesn't work that way. He cannot love you any more or less than He does right now at this moment. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what's been done to you, it doesn't matter. God loves you. And that's why He sent His Son to die for you. Because He loves you that much. John goes on to say in verse 9, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him." There's that demonstration again, isn't it? How did He demonstrate or show His love? He sent His Son here, into this world, to become like us, knowing that He would suffer and die. Then John gives us a definition. I like this part. Okay? Look at what he says, verse 10. "This is love." Now, you want to know what love is? This is it. "Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son," look at this, "as an atoning sacrifice." For what? for our sins. That is love, John said. God loved us so much that He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. When did He do that? When did He do that? While we were still sinners. Okay. Ran across this cartoon here. Peppermint Patty says to Charlie Brown, tell me what love is, Chuck. A man called Jesus. See? A man called Jesus. That is love. Okay? In verse 11, John then tells us, so what do we do with this love that God has demonstrated, that He has given to us? What do we do with that love? Well, he says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So in other words, in the modern terms today as we use, what does God want us to do with the love that He has given to us? He wants us to pay it forward. Okay? To share it with other people. Now think about it this way. God loved you when you sinned against Him. Right? Everybody agree on that? And we all got that because we've all sinned, right? And yet God loved you anyway, even though you sinned against Him. And so now I want you to stop for just a moment. I want you in your mind's eye to think about all the people that have sinned against you. Some of you, it might take a while to go through the list, right? But here's the question. What are you doing about them and what they have done against you? Are you filled full of hate and anger? You want revenge, you want justice, you want all of those things, and you refuse to forgive them for what they have done? What God is telling you to do is to do what He did for you. Love them. Don't hate them. Love them. Okay? And don't wait until they come to you and say, hey, I know I messed up. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Don't wait for that. Because just like we saw the Israelites and just like with us, God didn't wait for you to do that, did He? But He wants you to pay it forward. Love them. Forgive them. Okay. Pass it on. Disseminate God's love. Pass it on to one another. You see, God, as He gave us His love, did not intend for us to keep that love to ourselves. It was never His intention. You say, wow, great. God loves me. He's forgiven me of my sins. Boy, what a great person and lucky guy I am, right? He wants us to take that and apply it to other people, recognizing what He has given to us, that He didn't give it to us just to hold on to and keep for ourselves. He gave it to us so that we would in turn give it to other people. Okay? John goes on to say in verse 12 of this passage, no one has ever seen God. But look at this. If we love one another, okay, God lives in us, and look at this last part. His love is made complete in us. So here's the thing you have to recognize and understand. If you take the love that God has given to you, and you pay it forward, you share it with those who have hurt you, those who have sinned against you, not just those who are good to you. It's easy to love those folks. But to those who have harmed you and hurt you in some way, then that's the way that God's love is made complete. But when we refuse to pass that love on to others, then God's love cannot be completed in us. Okay? So we have got to share that love, to pay it forward, to pass it on to other people so that His love will be complete in us. So that's really what it's all about. Passing the love that God has for you. That He really, truly does love you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what's been done to you, the message is God truly loves you. Okay? So, what if? What if He really does? What if He really does love you? All right? And here's the questions for you to think about. What would happen in your life if you really were convinced and really understood that God really does love you? What would happen? How would things change in your life? Including being able to pass God's love on to those who have hurt you. What would you do differently? Truly recognizing and accepting that God really does love you. Okay? We finish up again with this slide. What if one opportunity could change your life totally and completely? What would happen then? And you have one opportunity right now to accept this love that Jesus has demonstrated, freely given for you in your life. And then to be able to take that love and share it and pass it on to other people. You have that opportunity right now. So I encourage you, if you've been listening to Satan's lies, then stop. Plug your ears from him. Okay? Because he's not telling you the truth. This is the truth. God really loves you. Maybe if you're struggling with that, or some other thing going on in your life that maybe Satan has got you all tangled up in, I encourage you to get free of that right now. Don't leave from this place this morning still entangled in Satan's nets of lies, but be free. You need some guidance, some prayers, some teaching, whatever it takes to help you. We want to offer that to you. You have sin in your life that you haven't repented of. You need to repent of that. Allow God's love and His blood to take it away. If you're not a Christian, you haven't given your life to Christ, you have the opportunity right now to become a Christian. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from Him. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now if you're ready to make that commitment. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to sing as an invitation song. And the Lord's invitation is open. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there. And I'll be up front here to receive anyone who would like to come up. Let's stand together and